Good morning. 2 weeks ago, BBC Spotlight exposed Father Malachy Finnegan as a paedophile priest. Since then, victims have been contacting the BBC's Mandy McCauley and indeed Nolan Live Television and now the Nolan Ulster radio show. Last night on Nolan Live, the story moved on. The Bishop of Dromore, Bishop John McAreevy, is now facing calls to resign immediately from his post. Those calls are coming from victims of Finnegan. Last night, victims of this paedophile priest, Malachy Finnegan, were horrified to hear that despite knowing Finnegan was a paedophile, Bishop McAreevy made the decision. He said it was a spur-of-the-moment decision to concelebrate Mass with the paedophile Finnegan fully vested on the altar with him.
I'm not calling for him to resign. I'm telling him he's not fit to be in the position that he's in. He has to resign. He has to.
That was Sean Falloon. Now another victim, Paul Gilmore. Here's what Paul said when we asked what his message to Bishop McAreevy is.
It's fairly straightforward, Stephen. His position has been untenable for years. All the rolling tide of revelations that's happened over the last 2 weeks since Mandy got involved and the work that she's done and the Spotlight crew have done, they've just reinforced that. He has to resign. He hasn't got any alternative. He's got a scrap of decency. He has to quit. You know, I work in the corporate world. If you take this at its height, it's negligence. If you take it at its depths, it's malfeasance of the highest order. But even at the negligence end of the spectrum, his position is untenable.
What we're going to do on the Nolan Show this morning is set out this full story once again so that all of us in Northern Ireland can understand what has happened here. And there are serious questions for more than the church. There are serious questions for some other institutions that many of us respect and trust. How did important institutions in our society deal with a prolific paedophile in Northern Ireland? So let's get you across some of the detail first of all. Malachy Finnegan died in 2002. The questions that we have are for the Catholic Church, the police, and St Colman's College Grammar School in Newry. Now remember, and here's some of the detail to get into your head as we walk through this. Remember that it was BBC Spotlight who revealed that Finnegan, the ex-teacher and ex-president of St Colman's College in Newry, was a paedophile priest. And the BBC had to tell you that. Mandy McCauley had to tell you that because the Catholic Church sat on that information. To be precise about it, they sat on it. They sat on the fact of the existence of this paedophile insofar as they did not make that public so that all of you could know until Spotlight wrote to the church and told them that they were going to publicly name him. And it was at that point that the Catholic Church got it out there. And what we're going to do this morning is very, very slowly walk through this and you will want to react. 03030 80 55 55. So let's start in 1994. We know that the then Father McAreevy in 1994 knew that Finnegan was a paedophile. And here's how we know that. He told us himself in his own words just 10 days ago. Let's have a listen.
In 1994, Bishop Brooks informed me of the first allegation and asked me to liaise with that victim and his family in a pastoral role. I kept him briefed about my visits, and in 1995, I reminded Bishop Brooks of the duty to report the matter to public authorities.
So essentially what Bishop McAreevy is saying, essentially his point there, is that he thought Bishop Brooks had reported it to the police, that it was his practice to do so. And I guess they're saying, but they didn't know for sure whether it was reported or not. Can we fast forward now to 1999? because that's when Father McAreevy is now Bishop McAreevy. So there could be no noise around that. He is the man in charge. Brooks is gone. It is Bishop McAreevy who is the bishop. He's the man in charge. And what the Police Service of Northern Ireland, the police have told the Nolan Show, is that the allegations against Finnegan were only reported to them by the church in 2006. So think about that. There's a paedophile in our midst. The church is saying they reported it to the PSNI in the 1990s. And the PSNI are saying, no, didn't happen. As far as their records reveal, it was only reported in 2006. So there's the first fundamental, unanswered question around this story. It cannot be left to just drift that you have one of the most influential institutions in our society, the Catholic Church, saying they believe they reported a paedophile to the police in the 1990s, and the police saying, no, they didn't, 2006. So that's got to be probed, and we'll be doing that probing. And when Spotlight contacted the Catholic Church and asked them to put someone up to speak about this, did they put someone up who the church put someone up who was around at the time or who definitely knew what was going on? No. They put someone up who wasn't too sure about when the church did report having a paedophile in their midst.
I wasn't in post. I wasn't in the diocese. I think procedures and policies at that stage were not as robust as they are today.
Was that allegation reported to police in 1994?
I believe that Bishop Brooks at the time did report it. I don't think it was 94, I think it's probably 95 it was reported.
But they can't know for sure. And when we pushed the bishop and the church on this, a spokesperson for the church said that Pat Carville, that's Patricia Carville who was speaking to Mandy there, believed, and she heard her words, and she's done nothing wrong here, she's just trying to represent what she's being told, believed that Bishop Brooks did report Finnegan in 1995 and that she based that on a file note that showed Brooks asked for his legal position about reporting. So the file note didn't say he reported it. The file note said he asked for his legal position about reporting. And the bishop said the same, but they can't prove what the bishop did or didn't do after getting that advice. So essentially, the church are admitting they cannot be sure that the allegations were referred on to the PSNI. Now, we said last night on Nolan Live, and I'll say it again this morning, victims will be at the heart of our coverage. A stark warning to all of you today. Some of the testimony that you're going to hear this morning is extremely graphic in its nature. If there are children listening to the radio, please do not let them do so. The testimony will be of a graphic sexual nature, but we think it is important that you hear the devastation that was caused, the horrendous abuse that was inflicted upon human beings in Northern Ireland. Sean Falloon is one of those victims. He was abused since he was a young boy. And I asked Sean how he feels now that he has learnt that the police are saying they were only told by the Catholic Church in 2006.
First of all, the delay from the diocese reporting that Finnegan was a paedophile puzzles me. If you take, for example, if I was working in someone's house and I became aware of a child that was being sexually, emotionally or physically abused, I have a duty of care as simply a responsible adult to report that to the correct authorities. The Diocese of Tremor were in a much stronger position to certainly go forward to the police or other relevant authorities to report what had been going on by Finnegan. But for many years, they didn't. I reported it in 96, but I reported it with fear.
Yeah.
For...
And you weren't prepared to make a statement at that stage.
That's why I wasn't prepared to make a statement.
But you did go to the police.
But I did it to protect the possibility of it happening to other children who may not be as strong as I am.
Can you tell me what Finnegan did to you? So that
this
audience understands at home, so that every one of us at home understands the seriousness of the story we're dealing with tonight. What did this man do to you?
Well,
obviously a warning that some of this testimony will be very, very graphic, but we're doing it tonight because the victims need to be heard.
It started off with hugging and heavy petting.
What age were you?
10 years old. Late primary 7. And that progressed to kissing, and then...
This was a grown man kissing you?
He was around 60 at the time, yes. I remember stubble scratching my face. Not only 10, 11-year-old. From there, I progressed to putting his hands on my private parts in his car. To when I first lost my virginity at only 11 years old, just outside Hilltown. And from that point, it progressed to...
What do you think was happening? Like, what does a monster like that say to you when he's... Does he try to make it sound normal, what he is...
He tried to make it sound like he was... He loved me and that I could trust him. And I was getting attention from a highly regarded adult in the community. At that time, I'd just been diagnosed with diabetes, and he was talking to me about diabetes and asking me questions about it. It was all very complicated to me as a 10-year-old having diabetes, but he took advantage of that. He's seen that vulnerability.
Where did the abuse take place, Sean?
In his car, and from about that first time that when I lost my virginity, in his living room and in his hallway of the parochial house. And
in the parochial house?
Yes, and upstairs in the bedroom. And, sorry, pardon me, also in his bathroom.
What does it do to a child when that paedophile is raping you? What does it do to your sense of... to your soul?
It took me away from living those teenage years. Took me away from socialising with other children of that age. I noticed throughout that I wasn't having friends like other children my age in Hilltown were having, because I was taken away from them.
How often would he do this to you?
At least once a week. On average once a week.
For how long?
From I was 10 years old until I was 16.
Sean, no.
Yeah.
On average once a week?
Yeah, and then when I was 17... about once a month, because I was backing away from it.
I'm trying to imagine in my head the vulnerability that there is associated with any child of any age, but, you know, at 10 and 11 years of age, it is unthinkable. And this was a man who was positioning himself as a pillar of our society, right?
In a village.
How did you sleep at night?
Back in those days, worried, mixed up, trapped. Trapped is a very good word for explaining how I felt, really, at any time of the day, back in those days.
Mm. The kissing to heavy petting to the rape.
Yeah, The rape, there was... We imitated intercourse on top of one another in his bedroom. There was oral sex sometimes as well. There was heavy petting in the bath, in his bathroom. And on two occasions, there was intercourse on me. And he asked if that would be okay. I said yes. I didn't have the strength to say no.
What would he say to you afterwards?
How much he loved me. Don't ever tell anyone about this. If this gets out, it'll ruin the both of us. It'll ruin your family. It'll be stuck to you for the rest of your life.
So that's some of the testimony from Sean, who is a victim of the paedophile priest Finnegan.